I'll try to sing a song. It's called Pour Out My Heart.
Appreciate the good song. Thought about right when they started singing, I thought about Hannah when she was praying that God would bless her with a child, and the old priest Eli thought that when he saw that her lips were moving and nothing was coming out, he thought she had gotten into the wine, thought she was drunk, and she said, "No, my Lord, That's not what's happening here. I'm of a sorrowful spirit, and I have poured out my soul before the Lord. And that's what praying is about, isn't it? We pour our soul out to the Lord, thankful for the good song. Again, I want to ask you to pray for Brother Justin as he comes tonight to bring the message. I love this young man and appreciate him and his family very much. I want to ask the church to really get behind him and pray for him and his family while they're making their preparations to go make their move to the mission field and to carry out the burden that the Lord has placed on his heart. They've got a big transition ahead of them and a lot to do to get ready for it. But I know that the Lord will help them. And so let's just support them in our prayers while they're making their preparations and when they go. So Brother Justin is a member of Outreach Missionary Baptist Church in Canby, Indiana. And we are thankful to have him here tonight to bring the message. And we're going to turn the service over to him and ask you to please give him your attention. And you pray for him as he comes to stand before us, Brother Justin Ferris.
I want to say it's been a good day today. I've been feasting on Brother Miller, or the message that Brother Miller brought this morning about how thankful we should be for what God has done for us. We're truly unworthy to be His children. We are very undeserving of that. And that's the beginning. I was sitting here as singing was going on, and I was thinking about how the Lord has blessed me in my life, how He has given me a wonderful companion to be by my side, and how unworthy I am to have her in my life. And I know it's not easy to be a minister's wife, traveling here and there, and she's been very faithful and very willing to do whatever it takes to help me and to help our family grow, and I'm just so indebted to her and thankful for her and what she stands for. The Lord has worked in a great way in my life, and I'm thankful that I'm able to see that. I'm very unworthy to be here this evening, but I'm very thankful that He's given us this opportunity to be here. And I feel that I should tell a little bit about myself here before we get into the Word of God. I was saved when I was 12 years old. On a Thursday night, we were having services in a senior citizens building, is where we were holding service. We had folding metal chairs as an altar, and I remember going up there and feeling that sorrow and pain in my heart, that fear of death, as all of those who have been saved by His grace, you know exactly what I'm talking about, is that fear and that sorrow that set up, and I was just pouring out my heart to the Lord. I'm thankful that I was in a place and raised in a family, and that when I felt those feelings inside, that the instruction given to me was to seek God. He's the only one that could take that burden away. I am so thankful for that. The world, many people don't have that opportunity in this world. And I'm very thankful for that. So that was the instruction given unto me. And so I was pouring out my heart to God that night. And it seemed like just a minute. I don't remember what I exactly said, and that's not important. But I know that that burden of sorrow was gone, and it was lifted off of me and gone forever. I wasn't afraid to die as a 12-year-old boy from that point on. I was able to fall asleep comfortably. And I'm thankful for that. He saved my soul. It was an experience that I'll never forget. I love hearing people's testimonies and experiences of salvation. I think it's very important that we share that with the world. The world doesn't have these kind of experiences to be able to tell people. They have put God as something that you accept. And we know this not to be true. In order to be saved, you have to have an experience. An experience with God that you know something happened to you. And I'm thankful for that. I remember hearing testimonies of my great uncle. He was saved, and I love telling this, he was saved in a submarine somewhere in the sea. He doesn't know what day it was, but he remembers he was laying in his bunk in a submarine. God was there. He's everywhere. My dad was saved in Vietnam in a foxhole. Hearing those mortar shells going off all around, he was there. And he was there for me in a senior citizens building when I was 12 years old. And I'm thankful for that. Nothing could take that away. Time went on when I was 21 years old. I'm 28 now. The Lord spoke to me and told me to preach His word. So from that time, I've been trying to do that, and with some valleys starting out, we've been trying to do that and work for Him. The Lord has saved my wife, and many great things have happened that I've been so undeserving of. As of lately, as Brother Miller has shared, the Lord has burdened my heart for people out in Virginia. I have heard the many great history, things of history that have been there. Our forefathers, our Baptist forefathers that preached the word when it spread like wildfire through that part of the country. And that is mind-boggling to me. And I'm thankful for them. But the burden that the Lord has given me is for the people. The history is great. The history is important. But the burden that I have is for people that I've never met before there. The people who are in deception. And it just so happens to be Virginia, where there's a lot of historical facts and many great things. And I'm going to have to learn a lot more about history, I believe, to help me speak to those people. The Word of God is powerful and true, and that's the most important thing that needs to reach them. But I believe that they're going to have many vices on their thinking. I heard there's a lot of people there that know history. They're involved in the Civil War, and they're very, very good at their history. So knowing the part of history that the Lord was a part of, that His hand was touching those people in that country, will be a great asset to that, to those people there, I do believe. We are preparing to put our house up for sale and to move out that way. And we do appreciate an interest in your prayers. The Lord will just make those things happen. And the housing market today, as you know, it's very dismal. And as I look around, even in my own neighborhood, there's several houses for sale that have been there for months, and that kind of could get me down looking at that, Lord, you've put this burden on my heart, and I know you want us there, but I know we've got to exercise some patience. But the Lord can make things happen. I'm confident of that. And I'm thankful for my good brothers and sisters who have given me words of advice to that end. We're going to need your prayers. Lord has placed a little message in my heart tonight. If you want to turn with me to the sixth chapter of John. I want to start reading in the 59th verse of John chapter 6. Now, before we continue reading here, or start reading, I want to give you a little background of what is being said here. Jesus is trying to enunciate to them at this point of those all around that he is the bread of life. Jesus is saying in the 35th verse, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. A very highly quoted verse that we all know very familiar, that we are very familiar with. But these people at this time that were following Jesus, they were couldn't understand what he meant by that. They thought that they had to physically eat his flesh and drink his blood, and they couldn't get over that. It was a stumbling block to them. So here we have in the 59th verse, it says, these things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it, or who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you, or does this cause a stumble? Cause you to stumble is what that means. The 62nd verse says, what, and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are life. I was reading this, and I got to thinking, how wonderful would it have been to Jesus being right in your presence. And the very words that come from his mouth are perfect. The very words that come from his mouth are spirit. And is able to speak directly to the heart of those who he talks to. I marvel at that. And that's exactly what he says here. But it says, but there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, and who should betray him. And he said, therefore said I unto you, that no man could come unto me, except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back, and walked no more with him. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if I could title this at all, it would have to be to the effect of what Simon answered him, says, to whom shall we go? Jesus turned to the 12 and said, will ye go also, or will ye also go away? And Simon spoke up. What did he say? He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? This is a very relevant question for us today. We are living in a day and an age that the world in that which we live in, the United States, is very prosperous. We live in a time that God's people, as a whole, I believe, are turning their backs on him. There are many deceptions and evil things in this world that are pulling in sin, that are pulling God's people away from him. We need to ask ourselves, God has given us this day to serve him. Will ye also go away? To whom shall we go, was what Peter's answer was. What is your answer for him, for the Lord? Every day that God gives us, it's a blessing. We have a choice to serve God or to not to serve God. There was a wonderful Sunday school lesson this morning, and I'm thankful for that. That touched on a lot of this is that we have such a duty, and we let this world take us away from the responsibilities that God has given us, that He has given us the ability to serve Him. And what do we do is a lot of times we trample all over it. What is it? What is it about this question that is so important? Will we also go away? Peter answered once again. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. The Lord save my soul. Who else am I to turn to? Who else am I to go to for the answers of life? Who else am I to turn to when the world comes tumbling down on me? The Lord, the one who gave me life and life eternal. Isn't that the most important thing that you possess? It is for me. I'd be nothing. I am nothing. But since the Lord saved me, I have a great responsibility. Yes, the Lord has called me to preach. But if He has saved you, then He has called you unto good works. We are justified by faith in the sight of man, by our works. We must work for Him daily. We have not time to waste. We have friends and loved ones who need to hear the gospel. We have friends and loved ones that need to be saved. But they not only need to hear, I believe they need to see our good works. They need to see what the change is in us. And sometimes we get a little lax. We forget our role. We forget how thankful that we should be, how unworthy that we are to be a child of God. Let us look over. I want to turn to the book of Psalm. Psalm 73. I want to bring out something that, especially us here in the United States, that we, I think we're guilty of far too often. And I believe this hits home. It hit home with me. The 73rd Psalm. This is a psalm of Asaph. Asaph was a chief musician in the time of David. And we want to read what this says. It says, truly God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart, those who have been saved. You know, we come to church, and I think all of us here realize that God is good to His children. That is taught as a young child. It was to me growing up that God is good. And we all understand that God is good, and to all of us, those of His children, we understand that, and He's acknowledging this here. But it says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Sometimes I think something that really pulls us down as Christians is where we see this world and we see how prosperous it is. We see them having money beyond end. Their heart is satisfied with everything that they want. They seem to be very happy. They seem to have everything they want. They have all the cars they could dream of. They have all the worldly possessions. And sometimes we let that hinder us. We can't understand why God lets them have those things and seems to be happy in this life. But we have forgotten sometimes the most important thing that we possess is salvation. That can't bring joy to their souls if they don't have salvation. Those worldly things, and we forget that sometimes. Our focus is construed. And this is to remind us of what we have. Of what the world has is they have happiness in the things of this world. But we are not to be entangled with those things, my brothers and my sisters. God has given us many things and we are a blessed people. But sometimes when we look at the world, we get envious when we see their prosperity. And it goes on, and we could see the many things, and it describes what the author here struggled with, that their strength is firm, that they don't seem to be in trouble as other men, that their pride wraps all around them. We see that they are very corrupt, though. But what has happened is sometimes it turns God's people towards the world when we see those things. And what it does is it just drains the spirituality right out of us, doesn't it? And when that happens, it makes it so easy for us to just get wrapped up in the world. We just want to blend right in. This is a very, very important thing that we need to get out, that we need to realize we are a people sometimes. We justify everything we do. Well, I'm not going to come to church because of this and this. It's okay. I have something to do. I'm not going to go talk to my neighbor because I have too busy. We justify these things of the world, and we shouldn't. We need to take a God's eye view, because ultimately we're going to have to answer for those things. Amen. This is important. This world is dying. Our lost loved ones are dying and going to hell. And we see this here in the 17th verse. It says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." I am so thankful that God has given us the opportunity to be able to sup with Him, to get into our prayer closets and really pour out our heart to Him and say, "Lord, show me these things. Why is it that this world is prospering? Why is it? Why am I so envious of that?" And then we hear a message like we heard this morning. Amen. That we should be thankful that God has saved our souls. Yeah. There is nothing greater. I have been thankful and have been privileged to go into certain places and preach to a lot of lost people, a congregation full of them before. And my heart goes out to them because they can't even understand the joy of life, because they have never felt that peace within. People are living in deception and they're loving it. Those people need the gospel. And what do they, when we stand up for the truth, what is it that they make fun of us for? What is it that they call us? They call us very high-minded. We're closed-minded. We're extremists. Have you heard that one? They say, "Who are we to limit God?" God saves one way. You have to have an experience with God. That has to be the basis and the start of working for Him. And this world has it backwards. Let us read on here in the 18th verse. "Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation? And in a moment, or as in a moment, they are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast hold me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works." Isn't that our goal? Psalmist says, the whole duty of man is to fear God and to keep His commandments. We are to praise God each and every day. To whom shall we go? I hope that is would be the same response that you could give the Lord each and every day. Lord, I don't want to fit into this world. I don't want to go there because I have nothing there. This world is not my home. I have realized that. And as I grow older and am strengthened by His Spirit and grow in the Word of God, I am able to see that this world is not my home. I like to call my house my tent. Because as the children of Israel, they roamed around the wilderness when the Lord said, it's time to go. Well, they just packed up their tents and went on, didn't they? And that's what I see. This world is not our home. No matter if you live in Virginia, Bowling Green, this isn't our home. We're going to have one day a rest that I've never had before. We get so beaten and downtrodden sometimes here. Our bodies physically need rest. But one day, I'm going to be home where there will be no sorrow and no pain. I won't have to worry about my lost loved ones. I won't have to worry about those things. I won't have to worry about my children growing up in this world in deception, worrying about what's going to happen to them. It's going to be taken care of. I'll be at home with my Father. What a glorious day that will be. The book of Romans. I want to read a couple of scriptures here and I'm going to close. The 12th chapter says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Peter had it right, didn't he? He had the right answer. You know, each and every day that God gives us, we may not actually physically respond to that question by our words, but by our actions, they speak louder sometimes than words. We have a great responsibility. A living sacrifice. I believe as a living sacrifice that you're going to have pain. A sacrifice wouldn't be a sacrifice if it wasn't something that was precious and something that you had to lose and give up things for. A living sacrifice is difficult. Paul acknowledges that the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. He acknowledges that there's things in this life that sin still avails in this body. But let us realize that we need to sacrifice daily. Let us not stray from the Lord. We have a great work. And I pray that the Lord would strengthen you for what God has called you into. We're not all preachers. If you're a child of God, He's called you into good works. You are to proclaim, tell people about the Lord. Let them know who's the king of your life by your actions and by the things that come out of your mouth. That's my prayer. May God bless you all. We do desire an interest in your prayers. Thankful for Brother Miller letting us stay in his hospitality. Brother.
Appreciate the good message tonight. Sometimes we have a hard time, I think, being honest with ourselves, really, don't we? I mean, if we really admit it, if we are honest, I think sometimes we'd have to admit, I mean, even as God's people, sometimes we just don't want to hear it. Truthfully, we don't want to hear it. There's I think a lot of times, as the people of God, we feel that way. But, you know, that doesn't change the fact that God gave us His Word, and it says what it says. And I couldn't help but think about when Brother Justin was preaching about what the Apostle John once wrote, and he wrote it so plainly. I mean, there's just really no way to misunderstand it. He said, "Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him." If you look at 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, those are the words that you'll find there. And I agree. I agree with the message tonight. We have let the world in a lot of ways creep in, and it sure will stagger us spiritually whenever that we do that. I'd like for us, Brother Carlock, if you would, I'd like for us to have a song. I appreciate the message. Appreciate Brother Justin and his family being here. And I want us to come around and shake hands with all of them. If Adrian and the boys could come up. I don't know, Parker might be asleep, but I'd like for them to come up. Brother Justin, if you would come out come up front. And while we stand and sing and come around and have a hand of fellowship with them, if you have a word of encouragement for them, please pass it on to them. But let's let them know by this that we not only are thankful to have had them with us here today, but that we're going to be praying for them and their work for the Lord. So let's stand and sing and come.